Good evening. Thank you, Shambhala Publication. I'll make effort to bring us together here for this weekend. Also, thank you, all of you, making time to coming here to sit with us. And sit with me. So I would like to kind of a little bit of the background of this the relaxed mind, the seven steps of method, that deepening meditation practice is called. So I have been in the West and Europe and different parts of the world. In a few, over a couple of decades and last. And before that, I was also in Tibet and also sometimes in India and other Himalaya regions. So, but coming into the West is something other world. It's quite different for us. Tibetan grew up in the mountains, like a nomad. A middle of nowhere, basically. So, then I start to sharing my Dharma and whatever I feel that something may be useful to share with other people. So over the time. And then when I come to the US and some other parts of the world and this modern world, and there are so many this people and variety, different age and different traditions, they're showing this strong interest into Buddhist meditation and practices. It's really, I was quite a amazed, and I wasn't expecting as a something like Buddhism is like that kind of all over the world and different part. I know there is some kind of historical places like India, Burma, and you know that part, but yeah, then I meet so many meditators, practitioners, and those who receive great amount of teachings from such a wonderful teacher. And the teachers that even many Tibetan people are wishing to receive some teachings from those wonderful teachers, but they haven't got a chance or opportunity. But many of Westerners, they got chance to receive a teachings and such in different ways. So when you see all of this and hear all of that, it's amazing. It's like kind of, it's a dream, you know. So then some point it's like, I think, you know, I don't know what to teach, actually. Maybe it's like people get everything. I receive Dharma in Buddhist. But then over the time, I got a little bit more closer to look and people who receive teachings and practices in the years from different traditions, different perspective, different teachers. There's still some struggle things going on with practitioners to quite don't know how to put together as some kind of a package or something that it's doable or something that appealing to everyday's life. So that is what I got to kind of think deeply. How can I can facilitate to my time to be useful, something like to helping these peoples in that way to, in a way they had lots of teachings and they, in a way they don't need any more, but maybe they have some things already and supporting them to bring up that into that, up kind of bring up fresh or action. So that is a kind of a, had a different focus since then to, because of that, then I had also close groups and practitioners that I had as been focusing on and to helping their meditation and practice too closely. So this The Relaxed Mind book is actually based on these people who are work and practitioners. We did many years, like 6 or 7 years of work together closely. And then it's like the overall that I felt some experience of this is work and this is not work and something like try. So this is something that, you know, I believe may be something useful in practice. So I have this land-based subject of 7 meditation and this book. So Shambhala Publications inviting me over here to go to this meditations one by one. We just like we explore and feel this together. And here this evening, we'll start with the first meditation, which is, this meditation contains, and generally speaking, so I think I'm sure people are familiar with this mindfulness tradition and meditation. And there are like, such like this the applications of mindfulness, these 4 applications, like, you know, body, sensation, mind, and phenomena that we all try to. So here I try to introduce, and working with people is try to not go with really too detail or too much in this structure and also this trigram. I noticed that Westerners already really intellectual and very much like systematic, everything is going with. And I feel people need some little break from that, reversed to relax, says, okay, it's not need everything it's in systematic, and not need everything it's into calendar. And some things that we can do relaxed way, a stir could happen beautifully. So that is my idea of to even this traditions of shamatha and vipassana, and all, you know, there is a sense of flavor of that meditation in here, but I don't go as a traditional kind of a systematic ways. It's a simplified, something that we can doable, something that we can work with without remembering the figures or something that, you know. So therefore, this meditation this style. Maybe some of you felt like quite a boring and flat. Well, hope not. We'll see. So therefore, this the first meditation, so we're kind of laying the foundation and joining the mind and body, it says. So we're working on basically body. And then second meditation is common binding, which is people are familiar with. But as I said, it's like something that I try to more still relax way to focusing and etc. A third meditation where we refine the basic sitting meditation, I call, is arriving at clarity. So just like letting be. And fourth is insight meditation, more Vipassana. But again, we try not to be lost with the formula, the form, the structure. We try to experience the depth of really one's experience level. The fifth is called open heart mind meditation. So this is weaving the internal and external, the world and phenomena more widely. So such things sometimes we meditate. But then there is a purpose of we meditate. What is meditate is kind of taming our mind in a way. But we taming our mind for what? What kind of focus? Tamed for peaceful love and kindness and genuine humanity. So something like trained mind for useful thing. Then it's meditation six, it's called pure mind meditation. Experience as a pure and enlightened nature as possible. In our samsara world, in every day and everywhere we go or live, there is sometimes, you know, our mind always sees some problematic things wherever we go, wherever we are, no matter what a situation is. Even situation is very good, good condition, but still some kind of the judgment, unhappiness. There's certain things are still ongoing. So this is something like to really try to open heart and mind, and to feel the pure nature of our genuine humanity and also a phenomena. It's a true nature. So, but it's difficult to enter really open it, enter open heart way to look at it. It's not just like happens, we just says, oh, you know, I wish. So, the final meditation is called seventh meditation, which is non-conceptual meditation. This is something like maybe sounds impossible. You know, non-concept. We have such a mind and a tendency that carrying our life by every minute, every second, in different ideas and different thoughts, how can be, you know, change or can be a non-concept conceptualizing, but it is possible when we are willing to. So experiencing of this non-conceptualizing meditation, which is helps, we get more freedom than after. Mind is more free, less engaged in thoughts and fixations. So therefore, something this funnel some meditation is almost the resolution of all six, other six meditations, or bringing into this level, then they're more like kind of relaxed. So and also this these meditations are also connected with the applications of mindfulness, you know, based on like body feelings, etc. What I said, the first ones, for example. Also, it's more little analytical approach. So when we are in this question, and we had to have a cushion. And how many of you have a cushion at home? You know, many of you have a cushion at home. And some of you don't have cushion at home. I was always making a half joke, but half serious. Sometimes, if we're interested to meditate, to explore a meditation, I think maybe it's a good idea to get a cushion at home. Put somewhere next to your bed or somewhere in a corner. It has a message. It's dedicated, you bought it for what? You know, you bought it for seat. And maybe it just, you seize it. Sometimes you may, you know, not like to see it. That's okay. You know. There are other times like you appeal to seat. So this is something like Buddhists have this philosophy of a relative and absolute method, you know, and different ways to bringing and stay in the path. So this is a kind of one of these relative ideas in a way, but sometimes they're powerful. Once you have a cushion, so then you had to find to how to sit. And there are many sitting positions also taught in meditation and different traditions. I have a few simple things maybe I can demonstrate, which sometimes we have some things that we developed our body habit, leaning some certain ways or otherwise feels that is like only way be comfortable. But we, you know, we can try in different way the body, the position and the back. Such things in meditation and very basic, this seven posture of Varotsana at the core, which is, I know you grew up with the chairs, you know. So in my childhood, we don't have chairs. It's a big difference that, you know, we had to bend our knees to sit. And you don't have to. So this is something, this is how trainings can make difference. Are your body used to or not used to it? But I think it helps to bring some flexibility in a physical body. If you're not over that period, you think, oh, I'm just, you know, I passed that body training, then maybe you're right. Otherwise, maybe you still try. Sometimes body is very, you know, senior people have like such a flexible body. And sometimes like teenagers' body is still kind of, you know, not that flexible. You never know really, you know, how. But if you have a body that allows to try different sitting postures, I think it's a good idea. One thing is this, the cross leg thing, which is, you see that in Tanka's images and Buddha's and all for lotus, this sitting cross legs looks like, you know, maybe sometimes a too rigid look, or maybe sometimes looks too pleasant. So whatever, it depends what angle that you're looking. So what experience you're looking through. So, but I try to see that and see that may be helpful. if you want to try, really it's kind of, you know, way, it's also one bit like this kind, you know. So this is like basically cross legs. If you can sit like this for even actually a few minutes to take a turn, it helps to loosen your this tendons. To come back for stretching. And it's a kind of a yoga exercise. It helps for that. But if you want to stay a long period, of course, that's also fine. But in sometimes you take turn, you know, left up and right up, or sit the other way also helps. So this is could be like you can try as a yoga in a way. Like as well as a meditation posture. So then it's we're talking about seven posture of Buddha Virasana. This the spine lined up straight forward, upwards, and not leaning back or side. Try it a little bit more straight forward, upwards also, I guess. Then it's your arm is just naturally like this, not tacked with this, or not try to like too much, you know, in tense. Sometimes we meditate, you know, maybe you feel like, oh, I want to be like a really Buddha, and then maybe very intensify the energy and tendons and everything, and that's not bring any relaxation. So therefore you have to be really respect and relax your body. So then the two hands, like you can put this way, doesn't matter left up or right up actually. So but just this, and this will bring a really amazing warmth energy. If your body have been a little bit, you know, cold, or feel like you need to let it heat up or warmed up in some naturally, so just like put in this position to sit, it started to really, you know, kind of warming up whole body system. This, and then your neck can be a little bit bending, a little bit forward. And eye gaze, the tradition of this eye gaze a little bit recommended to downwards, to maybe tip of nose or something, a little bit like. So then tongue is a little bit tacked on the roof of mouth, like a little bit like this. And then mouth is slightly open, breathable there, not too big, not too tight, which helps to balance the breath and the air circulations, and also not too dry, not dwelling. So then, but this is like how we sit in really physical level. So I know this is not possible for many people. Like, you know, then there's also half lotus, it's called like this. This is very doable in a way. So like this. Maybe you can do like this. Or it's the other in a very common, which is like maybe like this. This is also, that's okay. This is quite easy. And then when you do this, sometimes your this part of a knee or leg, what do you call, it's too heavy for to press this. And then sometimes you could use also little pillows or something to in this side to let it hold up or so. You know, generally speaking, of this is comfortable, but it's, this is more like pressing. So then it can raise up later. Because of that, there is a one, and we have an image in a book. There's a few different seating. But one thing is that in the Tibetan tradition, this called a meditation belt. Sometimes you use something like here to go all the way around and then tie it up here like a knot or something. And you can decide how tight, and then this will actually hold up instead of pillow. And not only that, your back also kind of, you can leaning over that to support it with the belt. So there are several, but I think it's maybe not that necessary we go all of that. So, but this is in a general way of what is body, some meditation posture really could help. It could help strength the mind and strength the energy in the body. When we sit very well, you sit comfortably. So, but in your case, many of you only, you know, comfortable by chair, so then it's okay, you can just take a chair. But then maybe the chair, you can also find that something like your rest of your body can really straight up and comfortable. So you can sit like that, it's also okay. So these are, in a way, maybe we think, well, it's like working on the body and how to sit and how my body be. It's maybe not that real as meditation, but it is. I feel it's so important. This is like a fundamental. So important. It's almost like you're studying a music, you know, to how to hold this implement in the right way, and how do you play, and how do you, so that is in the very beginning, it's that is we struggle with sometimes, you know, don't know how to hold that perfectly, but it takes some time to practice to used to it. So then sometimes went over that, pass over this stress, difficulty. So then it became very nature, normal for that sitting or the train. So this is similar, that we can try to be as skillful for our sitting positions, that whatever we choose. You may try different sometimes, different sitting positions. Which one is really comfortable? Which one makes you feel in a way physically comfortable, but sometimes you need to go with energetically to think of a little bit. Which one is really supporting meditation? Think of a little bit, try different. If your body is flexible, both chair or cushion, so you may try both to really see what is more accurate for kind of benefit of this relaxation and energy. So now we our outer preparations, maybe, you know, that's enough. And there's all many different ways can sit, you know. People sometimes can sit this kneeling, what do you call, like this. And then also use the bench, a little short bench over the knee, and then sit. And that means your rest of your body is lifted up by the bench and not put it on your ankle, I mean the heels. So then your feet is not pressed. So that is also other way. I think in a way, so this modern world, you have so many choice. Sometimes too many, you know. You cannot decide. All looks good, all looks kind of fun. So, but you have to choose one, or couples, whatever works for you. But when we go back for ancient world, the time of Buddha, or after, you know, so a few decades, these centuries before, imagine, you know, they don't have all this Zaputa's cushions like this fancy, and like, you know, all mega different shapes, and like moon cushions and all this. It is like I think this new modern practitioners' intelligence, that, you know, these things are rising. So continuously, there may be new things coming up. So I think this is the important part of a preparation to meditation for our body, and including cushion. So now we are experiencing relaxation in the body. Now start to really meditate. And meditate means, sometimes we think meditate, the controlling our thoughts, and say something. Don't think that way, and think this way. I don't like you to be think that way. This is meditation time. I like you to think this way. So there are so many things going on in our mind. But generally speaking, we'll try to be feel okay. This is a meditation. This is practice. There's no need to be so much in everything and in judgment. But try to something like the outline. Start meditation. Start with the outline of a relaxed base. We're okay. Okay to feel relaxed. So now it's a experiencing, relaxing with the body. Maybe your body has some aches and pains and a little difficulty experiencing. Some people have like some chronic diseases and certain things. it may be a little difficult to taking mind attention in otherwise goes in certain part of body when it's a pain or some difficult, you know, it maybe otherwise goes there. But this is a very important time to not attached or not hanging on tightly with that feeling. The mind and focus on a certain part of body or that because of some problems or because of some just like used to it. This time we try to our mind is really broaden, open, but at the same time we feel more throughout the body, scanned our body by thoughts and awareness. And this part is not just one by one, not just a particular part of body. Better actually, you don't engage with only focus for particular part of body. Try to open mind up, to really feel whole body, and feel whole resting. Now it's a body is a resting. My mind is resting. Now body start to feel at resting. And it not, there's not focus of resting on acupuncturing ways, but something like very big, very opened way to feel the whole body. It will experience definitely something different that the quality of a body, the sensations, the energy. The relaxation part of body now feels like they start to communicate. And then when you look and scan through this body in a relaxed way, then you eventually also could feel this mind and body now really then joining. It comes together and working at the same time. So maybe in that moment, not necessarily to have a such a like a something special, separate object to focus or anything. The object itself is a body, mind. So when you're able to open your mind and feel your whole body, so that is a meditation. That is this first part of meditation, that to experience and try to develop more this mind and connection with the body. When your body is start to really deep in a relaxed way, so then mind naturally rest easier. It's almost like when we go to some park or big nature place that has less this distractions and things, more inspiring environment, and immediately we can tell our mind and everything that easy to be calm. So this is very much same. The environment of a body comes more relaxed and more this complete resting. The mind will observe, experience that. Then this is kind of a that's what you call like the intercircling, the connection experience in there. As I'm talking, we are meditating. Sometimes meditation means automatically somehow people goes to mind. Meditate means mind. Work with that. So which is in a way, that's a major part. It's important. But there is many things that we need to work on along that. But when it's got it into mind, that part, well, of course, then that is, meditation is kind of, in a way, the mental training. Like, you know, something like train the mind in a different dynamic view that perceive the relaxations in different ways. But we have a speech, and we have a body, we have a spirit, all this. Sometimes we say something, talk something. In some way, this is physical. So we're talking about part of physical body and action, reaction, how that makes meditation different. Likewise, and speech-wise, sometimes if we've been meditating, mind and body joining meditation, but then it's mental chatting. The chatting part is going on. And we're not saying that we want to meditate on a speech. But it's important, actually important, to think of that way. I want to meditate on the body, on the speech, on the mind. Meditate on the speech is like, I want to less this mental chatting, less talkative in my mind. I want to rest and relax on this verbal and speech. Now that I don't need to say something, try hard to say something that make others happy or make self happy or something like, you know, I don't have that responsibility or that judgment. It's like free. Why I just be kind of relaxed and talking in that mental and feel pressured on about that. So letting kind of that also tension to go and have it actually sort of almost aspiration feeling that, okay, I'm going to be okay, I talk less mental chatting. I want to experience something that my speech is in meditation state. So this is a still part of body and helpful. So therefore, reminder for us this, I used to do this three syllables to chant this together, which is Om Ah Hung. I'll say that before meditate. And mainly this is also the cells, these three syllables, it has a quality of enlightened energy of body, speech, and mind. So the meditation aspect that we are also trying to bring a positive experience into our body, mind, that we could benefit to self and others, became a better human and better listener and genuine heart. So according to that, so we can try to calming our mind and body. So our attention is very much in kind of enlightened intention. to benefit all beings. So therefore, when we're saying this three syllables, Om Ahum, Om is connecting to body, Ah is connecting to speech, Hong is heart-mind. So when we say this three, we try to say, okay, now we're totally ready to meditate, ready to resting in the body, speech, and mind. So it's just like something that, you know, sometimes when we are in a situation by ourselves, you know, take this long exhale or inhale or doing something, it's like, or, you know, it's like, feels quite good. Feels a little more refreshing. Like this is kind of, you know, when we long chanting of this three syllables, in a way, this at the same time have a big exhale and inhale, kind of little bit readiness for meditation as well. So here we say that together. And remember your positions, where you sit, where your body, how your body be, is make difference. You cannot neglect your body. It's very important to be kind and gentle, not too harsh on body. Your eye gaze, as we mentioned, it's fine to a little bit downward, but also if it's comfortable with, you know, upwards, it's also, or straight forward, it's also fine. Likewise, either closed or eyes opened, doesn't matter. But the most important thing is whatever is comfortable and feel inspiring to be resting. That's more important. I may say some words along your meditation to support, to remind you. To how to stay and connect with your body in the resting ways. Let's open to feel your whole body. Let's feel relaxed in your body. Let's lose all the tense and tightness in your body. You're meditating on the body. Let's relax with all sense energy. Whatever experience within a body, just feel comfortable. Make sure your body is not rigid. Feel relaxed. Loosen your shoulders, necks, and arms. To feel the torpor resting and ease in the body. You may feel spacious and relaxed in your body. Just allow whatever experience. Feel relaxed with your body. Being relaxed with your body is meditation. Be confident and relax with your body. Feel the deep connections between mind and body. Make sure that you not neglected your body for connected. You're resting in the body.
Make sure your body is resting. When body is relaxed, energy flows beautifully. Your mind is experiencing relaxation. Feel relaxed. Loosen your body and your mind. Don't focus on the body too tightly. Make sure your whole body is resting, experiencing relaxation. Just feel free and relax. Let's feel relaxed energy of your body. Let's take a few long breaths. Exhale and inhale. We can have a little question and answer session here. So if you have any questions, you're welcome.
If you find yourself starting to nod off or getting tired while you're meditating, all of a sudden you have a drop, what would you do to, what is your suggestion on how to?
In different, this seven different meditations, our, in a way, do recommend it a little differently, but generally speaking, I supposed to say that early, but when you're meditating and contemplating, let us say experiencing, relaxing in your body, so sometimes that suddenly drops things because you're being a long stretch in the two. Best things is breaks the pieces. Intentionally, you break the pieces and refresh along some short periods. So even if you know you're doing well, okay, but sometimes you're in. You know, tension arises that you're able to that kind of, you know, like sort of snap or whatever that mentally. So fresh and break that, you know, no matter what is, has been a very good experiencing or difficult, just breaks there. And then try not to bring that, what you have been experiencing into current. Just let it arise that currently whatever is the next experience.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, any more questions?
My question is, in your studies or your opinion, what is more important to focus on before or after meditation, enlightenment or becoming a Buddha?
I guess it's for different things for different people. But if someone is inspired, who is a Buddha and what he done for people, and that something's really appealing to self and to admiring the qualities of that, just the same human as some point like us, that someone kind of, have this waking state of mind that has such a impact to helping beings. So that's why I would like to become a Buddha, to be sort of benefit all beings. That's why I do meditation. So I like to just kind of, being a helpful person, helpful human. Just, I'm not sure, what tech enlightened or not, but it doesn't matter. Whatever that I try in this world and this lifetime, something that would be very useful and good to me and good to my serenity and for people, something that I want to inspire. So therefore, I do this practice and meditation. Maybe have, did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Oh yeah, something good. Yes. No. That's good. Sometimes our mind is resting, and there's less questions, actually. So maybe people are experiencing relaxation in the mind and body.
I want to ask a question about physical pain when meditating. If you're experiencing physical pain in your body, should you move into the sensation during the meditation practice, or how should you?
So this one, and early we're talking, the best thing is try not to focus mind on visualization or anything for the pain. Just try to let all the tension on focus on pain is open, wider, and try to feel whole body and atmosphere in a bigger picture. So not just a precise way to looking, but it's more relaxing in the atmosphere of your own energy, your body. So, and that actually is very powerful. Meditation and relaxing in the body could become also a really healing. Healing for, body's kind of hurts and rigid. And sometimes it's because there's something wrong, we oftentimes goes to target that or to frustrate it with that. And the mind intention goes over there. And then it's kind of, motion of mind, the slackness and so on, kind of there is something that energetically to tightens up. So relaxing whole body is kind of loosen up this whole tension in there. So that's why it could be helpful if whole body is relaxing.
If you're going to meditate once a day, would you recommend the morning, afternoon, or evening?
I think it's very, in a way, it's a personal again, because some people is a morning person, some people is like a not morning person. So it's, and also work-wise, or how you to be engaged with family, people, work, and anything. So basically, whatever is appealing to self or makes sense or something, you try maybe in early or you try in evening or afternoon to see really what kind of your body reacts or likes the most. So I think that, but there's a one just general way of speaking, say the morning, people's mind is more fresh, supposed to, you know, more fresh, because it haven't got in our daily, this, you know, routines has start yet. So like we get a good night's sleep, hopefully had a good dream. And so it's a, so that wakes up and good breakfast. So then it's there's nothing to complain in that moment, in you know. So then it's mind is more feel like, you know, oh, I can do further relaxing, more open. There's not much things going on. So in the later in the day, and sometimes there are many things that you go through, has been, then it's like, you know, oh, I'm meditating, but this is rising, this comes up again. I had to feel like turn off that. And when that comes and feels like urge to push that button to turn off, so then it's sometimes like keep going and going. The time is goes, you know, like you maybe have a half hour, an hour, but it's discussing and turn off, and then, you know, things like the time you think, okay, now I'm finally almost here, is the time is almost over. So I think we had to just be checking self and see what is more important. And one idea of also like really morning meditation, it has some this good aspect, good reason, which is before we go to our phenomena and difficulties. So that is something the mind is almost empowered with, really like sort of clear way of thinking and feel relaxation and depth of your own humanity. And so that something like that, you go with that view on that energy, kind of helps to a little bit, you know, hold you in a path. So that is a maybe general way of looking, meditation. So in that case, you can try morning. You're welcome. There's a question back there. Oh, you have. Oh, sorry.
Hi. Am I speaking? So it was really wonderful being there and you reminding us to be in our bodies. And what I'm hoping to take is the experience of being in my body, so that when I sit, I can remind myself in my body. But I'm also wondering if you have any suggestion, because I know how my mind is, and there will come a time when I'll be saying in my with my mind, you must relax your body. And my mind will, in trying to tell my body to relax, be the problem. So do you have any?
your mind become a, like a, what do you call, like this
slave driver.
Yeah, says, you know, body, you be relaxed. I had to go somewhere to think a little bit, you know. Don't move it until I come back. Because mind wants to busy it, I'm sure. But it says, you know, I think that's something like we'll try to merging mind into body. Mm-hmm. Instead of try to be unjudgmental, mind isn't judgmenting mm-hmm. to the body. Mm-hmm. Is of course in us we had to start with some kind of a little bit, you know, this judging ourselves or whatever it's called, like conceptualizing, and says, okay, I had to sit on this cushion, I had to meditate on the body, experiencing relaxation. So all those things, it's, you know, as a what we do. But then it's from there, on it's more like really naturally allow, to not so much of really, you know, programming. So then I think this potential body and mind more cooperate and feel oneness and resting. So, yeah.
Rinpoche, I have an elderly relative, 86 years old, an 86-year-old relative who really has a long life of negativity and is now, you know, filled with a lot of fear about getting old and dying, and also interested in meditation. Tried it, but of course quickly determined that couldn't do it. You know, just like I just can't do this meditation thing. So any words of advice or counsel for someone like that in that station in life with a really kind of long history of negativity and almost self-hatred, that really wants to change, tries meditation, but quickly determines that they I just can't do this.
If he has any favorite or hobby or something that he felt it's that is something like maybe he go for big companion, or when it's like has a difficulty or anything like, you know, music or anything that he has or something like that?
Maybe just reading, you know, just goes for refuge in reading more spiritual books, mm-hmm. you know, kind of spiritual shopper, mm-hmm. always looking for the truth, but not willing to stop to do the work.
Well, I think sometimes maybe you could advise or suggest or whatever you call to like that almost self-hatred or this kind of a negative experience and what he had. Instead of try to read out of that, maybe try to let him say, okay, you know, let accept it, you know, let it sort of calm. And but at the same time, also let it go without wrapped by it. And don't kind of afraid of that. And don't also be attached to be afraid. So something like, you know, this is coming. The kind of almost like some tsunami or something coming that you can see it. But you try to fasten, okay, I'm going to be safe, okay, I just, you know, stand up, I'm not going run away, but just I want to let it go, it pass through, instead of that, you know, always comes and you want to rid off out of this energy. Then I think there's sometimes always like a tortured feeling when it comes. So the attitude of this acceptance and letting it go is makes really change of the image or experience. There is a potential of that. If he is willing to really look as a whatever this experience that he has, and maybe first, let's say it's a negative, it's difficult to think of let it happen. It's a negative. But it's try to let it happen. And then try to know to engage with what's happening. But not make a judgment and not, you know, express the fear or anxiety for that. Letting kind of pass through. So maybe that is some way you could try to suggest.
Thank you.
Rinpoche, if you're doing this meditation and it seems to be going pretty good, and then you're noticing some like really strong emotion arise. Like,
I didn't quite get that.
Okay, I'll try again.
See, so, it's talkative.
Yeah. So this really strong emotion arises, and you actually are getting, like, you're observing yourself and you're feeling kind of, you know, your anxiety is rising about it. And you get to a point where, you know, you're like hearing the message to calm and relax, and you really like want to scream. You're just escalating into an emotional state, and you just want to let it out. Do you have anything to suggest or say about?
I think you're saying this experience of a pressure, a stress, or something during the meditation,
yeah.
And then it feels like really you want to be out screaming or whatever, but it feels like you want to do, you know. So your question is like, what you know, that kind of feeling, what should you do?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's almost a little bit of similar that, you know, answer for gentlemen. Just this question about the difficulties. So then you, instead of you escape from that, sort of you try to understand or try to let it be, or not turn away or not engage immediately. Try to little bit kind of, you know, little pull back, but not run far away. To just kind of take a second to be take a long breath, to let it kind of, you know, go then, and to say, okay, I'm not going to be really controlled by this feeling or this. But again, this is my own mind. This is my own kind of mental images. So here I want to be this mind in resting and relaxing experience. So I just want to be more like calm and rest. So if you just like, this is a mental image, this is like a phenomena that coming from my own mind, nothing. So therefore I don't need to be respond or afraid of this. Just letting it calm and letting it go. So maybe that is something better, because if you're meditating in with a group or that, you know, suddenly stand up or shouting or screaming, it's like, oh, that's not really. But in a, what I call like, understanding of this and not afraid, or the understanding of this difficulty is, I think, important. Sometimes what we call this you know, humans, and that we sometimes like pretend or there is no problems. What do you call this in English? It says like, you know, hide one's head in the sand or something like, you know. So there is like a think no problems in phenomena world. But it depends. If we're open enough, we're aware enough, big and spacious enough, then maybe the phenomena is in there. Everything is reflecting through that. But only just we, you know, saying that have no problem in there. It's not, you know, true. Even in doing the meditation, there's a lot of turbulence and whatever comes. So that is important to be allow, understand, and try to be a little bit more relaxed in kindness. I think too kind to self. You know, feel compassionate. Feel open to whatever arising. So I think this kind of open-heartedness have some energy, special energy that could help and transform these energies into positive, into goodness.
Thank you.
I'm not sure it answered, but it's something like that. So, Ari, then? So, I oftentimes remind people a little bit of a dedicational meditation. And also begin our meditation with a good intention. Like why we meditate, you know. Of course, we meditate to reduce our different levels of sufferings and difficulties and also others. And we're taming our wild mind into something like useful. Something beneficial to self and others. And that has a quality of bodhicitta, it's called. Awakening awareness or compassion. So, which is in the Buddhist teachings, that is very essential, very important. But those of you, it's not really a Buddhist practitioners, maybe just starting to connecting with meditation or something, maybe don't know or have not so much of this in a background, but it's okay, still we start with attention. Attention in that, you know, may my meditation be benefit self and others, whatever ways that means. It's not only for my, you know, my own benefit. When myself is become a really good temperament and good-hearted person, does that affect anyone around me, family, friend, society, everything? I think the answer is yes. It does affect. So then this is a quality. That is the energy to help all beings, or more beings, at least. So, therefore, we start our meditation with a kind of good intention, And then also finally, after meditation, the session, we dedicate. You know. And again, this dedications and the inspirational in the beginning, if you do know such verses and that's fine, but if you don't know, that's no problem. All mind intention is powerful, you know. There is a dynamic energies with this conclusion kind of prayers by heart. So these energies are not so visible for rough eye, but is energy is like a measurable, and when we look in close by in different ways, then yes, there is this energies help. So therefore we dedicate this energy, this beautiful evening, that all of you make effort to come here and sit together and sharing the experience. You know, you imagine that room full of people here and very intense kind of, you know, situation happening, and kind of empower each other that to intensify. Yes, there is an effect of that. But everyone here is really calming oriented, was relaxing and resting, and we're kind of experiencing that atmosphere here. It's valuable. It's very beautiful. So send this energy and dedicate this to more than our group, to all beings in this world, particularly those beings who are experiencing tightness, limitation, anxiety, anger, and hurting others. So may all those be peace, become a peace and harmonious and good in balance. Thank you.